So if you look at the bottom of Chof Amud Bet, I purposely stopped at a place where it stood alone, just in case not everyone can listen to the recording. But if you look at the bottom of Chof Amud Bet, right? So I left quite a few lines there, but the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yana, you see it? It's like, I don't know, maybe a quarter up on the from the bottom on Chof Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yana, tefillin tzrichin guf naki. Got it? Okay. So tefillin needs a clean body. Now, what exactly does that mean? So there's the Bavli has a discussion about this, and obviously all those possibilities get read back into the Yerushalmi. So one possibility is that it's about not passing gas while you're wearing it. Another is that you shouldn't sleep, which may be a derivative of that. However, as we'll see, there are other implications here that machshava that it's about gufnaki is metaphorical, to keep your mind clean, right? Not improper or sexual thoughts or thoughts of sin and the like. And we're going to see how this plays out in the Gemara, because it's going to affect, as we'll see, the limitations in wearing tefillin all day. Right? That's going to be how it's going to manifest, is that, right, Meikra, then we know that the mitzvahs wear tefillin all day, but because of the high standards that we have for tefillin, we don't. So the Gemara says, "Mibnei ma lo hechziku behen," right? So why don't we? By the way, so the Meiri is also one who says that it's nakim averot. Just so you know. Okay. So based on that, right? Based on the. Right, the reason Miri says it's about Avera is this next line, which is, if in order to wear tefillin you have to be clean of sin, then if you wear tefillin all day, then that proves that you are a grois tzaddik. You never have any improper thoughts the whole day. So why isn't it that we look at someone with tefillin and automatically say, oh, you are the biggest tzaddik in the whole world, right? Milo Echzikuban. Why is wearing tefillin... Right? Why is that not a proof that you're such a tzaddik? Alternatively, right, people say that no, right, if it's about keeping your body clean, which is, right, well, why can't you just keep your body clean, right? Even if, right, the Sefer Chinuch says, just because you're not a tzaddik, right, if you can keep your body clean, so what does it matter? So whatever it is, the Gemara answers, Mibnei HaRamayin. Right, so whether the issue here is being a tzaddik or just being, you know, being a tzaddik enough that you're willing to be careful and keep your body clean, which is also not so difficult. The Gemara says, well, because v'bnei ha'ra'imayin, because there are people who are deceptive who really don't deserve to wear tefillin all day, either because they're not tzaddikim or they're not medaktik and mitzvot enough to keep their bodies clean. And this creates a problem. And then it tells a story that uvda, and it's explained even more in the psikta, but uvda have b'chad barnash, the Afkid Gabi Chavre, there was a person who put a picadon, right, by his friend, the cover band, and he lied about it. Amar lay, lo lo chaymenet el ilan debresha chayyamanit. Amen. He said, you jerk, right? I wasn't trusting you. You were a person who came in, were wearing tefillin all day. I was deceived that you're so honest. You are clearly not. I hate you. Okay, fine. So Rabbi Yanai, havi lov shon achar chol yo shlosha yom. So now Rabbi Yanai says that he used to wear his tefillin 3 days after he got sick. Lomer lecha shacholim amarek. And this tells you that sin cleans the body. Matam hasoleach lechol avoneichi arofe lekol tachalu aichi. That one who heals all of my sins, who forgives all my sins and heals all of my illness. Now, what exactly does any of that mean? So here, not surprisingly, the Mefarshim divide based on how they understood it before. So, for those Mefarshim who thought that the issue here in the Gemara was keeping your body clean, so what are you quoting this pasuk? Right? Well, they take it very metaphorically, which is, so the Pnei Moshe, for example, says that after you're sick, right, normally it's very hard to spend all day without passing gas and have your tefillin on, but after 3 days of sickness and you haven't really eaten and whatever, you know, your body is so empty, Yalla, now you can wear your tefillin. So for 3 days after he was sick, he was like, you know what? I can actually maintain a clean body. The Charedim says, no, it's not that you wear tefillin within 3 days of being sick. It's, he wouldn't wear tefillin for 3 days after he was sick. And this is focusing on what? The requirement to concentrate with your tefillin. He was saying that while I am sick, I couldn't concentrate. And that's another one of the requirements that you need when you have tefillin. And therefore, he would wait for 3 days. And this seems to be... right, so this is the position of the Charedim. Now, what's the problem? Is that neither of these explain what this has to do with sin. Right? So they have to say it's metaphorical. So the Mefarshim, though, who say that, no, it's about sin, right? Like the Meiri, right? Or the Marafolda, they have a wild shot. And they say, no. Normally, he felt that he wasn't a big enough tzaddik to wear tefillin. But after he was sick for 3 days, he said, sickness is mechaper, sickness atones, sickness cleansed my body of sin. Yalla, 3 days after, for the 3 days after I'm sick, I'm allowed to wear tefillin because now I'm a tzaddik. I've gotten kapara for all my sins. And that's how he understands the line of a soleach achal avonaichi, right? That you forgive all of my sins. How's that for pshat? Great. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lo ben tefillin zayin minei lo bekaita velo besitva. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would always wear his tefillin, whether it was summer or winter. Now we're on Chaf Aleph. And he said, that's what Rabbi Elazar would do as well, right? Even though you would think that in the summer it's a problem because you're schwitzing, right? And in the winter, maybe there's rain or whatever it is. Right, he would wear tefillin. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yochanan besitva davechazik reshe, havilavish tarvehom. Rabbi Yochanan, in the winter, when he had, was strong, he would wear his tefillin shel yad and rosh. Beram bekaitad lavechazik reshe, but he would get headaches in the summer, because it was so hot. Lavish ela deedrae. He would only wear the tefillin of his arm, right? His head was just schwitzing too much. It was just like, it was dehydrating. He just couldn't do it. He only put on arm tefillin. Now there are some gersot that flip it and say that bekaitad lavechazik reisha velavish tarvehon, that in the summer when he was weak, he would wear both. Biram besidda lavechazik reisha, but in the winter when he was strong, lavelavish eladare, he would only wear the tefillin shel yad. Which is a little bit weird, but basically, according to this, what? Yeah, it does, and we'll see that in just a second. Now, according to this, chazik reisha means right. He was sick. Right? I mean, not that he was right. They're not chazik reisha when I was strong, but when I was sick. Right? And that's how they have to flip it. Others say the Marafolda says that the point is that because he was sick, he needed a hat. Because it was cold and you couldn't put your tefillin on top of your hat. And that's why in the winter you didn't wear the tefillin shel rosh. It's all types of different mefarshim. Now, of course, this would prove, according to Marafolda's read, this would prove that you can't have a hefsek. Right? That was the whole point. Is in this winter, I just couldn't go without a hat. And therefore, I had nowhere to put my tefillin. So, what? Like, physically. A chatzitza, that's what I meant, yes. The davar hamafsek, fine. V'chi eino asur mishum ervas. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, how could it be you wore your tefillin all day? What about ervas? So this is very interesting, right? That the Gemara seems to, this has nothing to do with the previous statement. It's going on the fact that he wore tefillin all day. He said, how could you wear tefillin all day? Right? Aren't there times when you can't, like when you take a bath? Right? So the Gemara answers, Amar v'chi baraba pekirson, he would wear like another piece of clothing, like an internal cloth that would cover himself, right? So even when he wasn't wearing his outer clothes, he had something that undergarments. So therefore, that would limit the amount of time. Not that he would never take off his tefillin, but it's extremely, it, severely limited the amount of time that he was uncovered, such that he couldn't wear tefillin. So when he would go to take a go to the bathhouse, now there are, by the way, a million perushim on this exact on this Gemara, so I'm not going to get into everything. But fundamentally, what the Gemara is trying to do is figure out, right, how he would wear tefillin, right, when he's unclothed, right. Now the Rosh Shulio says it's more about when he would go to bed at night, right. Which, of course, will connect to later on. Gemara says, but the mitzvah tefillin is not at night, right? But maybe most people, right, because they used to, most people would be naked when they slept, right? They would just wear their blanket, and he wouldn't, right? He would wear some sort of pajamas, so maybe that's what it's saying, assuming that he's talking about at night. But let's just stick with the, right, and the Mara Fulda assumes that this is really about the fact that he was fat, right? He was just so fat that in the summer he had to wear minimal clothing because he just couldn't be overdressed, and therefore Gemara says yes, he wore minimal clothing, but he didn't wear nothing. But again, we're gonna go. We'll stick for the most part with the main parish. This is about when he would go to the shower. So Gavet Azal Masche came into Megiato Haulariyon Avicholtzan. So only when he would get to the right. So there are three rooms in the Merchatz. Right, there's the outer room where people are dressed, the middle room where people are not or less dressed, and then all the way in the inside when people are not dressed at all. So basically, only when he would get to the end of the middle room. Would he take off, his clothes? And therefore he maximized the amount of time. It's not that he never took off his tefillin, but he would maximize the amount of time that he would, right, that he would wear his tefillin. There are totally other mafarshim, right? There are the totally other interpretations of the Ritva, but again, there's a limit to how many mafarshim we can take. Fine. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Ad Yaakov Turmisa'a, until he got to the person who was the achrai on the Merchatz, so the person in charge, Ayalovshan, he would wear it, right? Meaning, until he got to this inner room, he would wear his tefillin. Now, I will just note, okay, this is basically the Haredim's interpretation. And they focus not on the way in, but on the way out, right? Is that, yes, even though he would wear it all the whole time, he wouldn't put it on until he got out to a certain point, right? Right? So they're saying, yes, because of Erva, so you, yes, he wore it all the time, but he wouldn't put it back on until he got all the way out of the Merchatz, right? So yes, he said the whole time, he didn't really mean the whole time, he meant the whole time when it was Mutter, right? And then they focused not on coming in, but going out. Okay. V'kad aving nafik masche, and when he would leave, so once he would get dressed, he would always give the same Dvar Torah. Every time, as soon as he got out of the bathhouse, he would give a Dvar Torah, and it was always the same one. Wow. There were two aronot, right, which can either mean a coffin or a box, that would travel with the Jews in the Midbar. Aron shel Cheha Olamim, v'aron shel Yosef. The aron of the Brit, right, meaning where the Luchot were, and Yosef's coffin. And the Goyim would say, what is this? You can't do this. This is not respectful. This is Yosef's. This is the Aaron. Why do you have a dead body with the Aaron of God? That's not respectful. It's not disrespectful because the person who's dead in this box kept everything that's written in the Aron, you know, in the Torah that's in this box. Now, the Gemara says very reasonably, why would he say this? So he should learn Torah. The Gemara says, did he literally only have one Dvar Torah in his entire box of Dvar Torah? What are you people talking about? Ella Kintaranava. He said, you're right. The problem was like this. Every time he would leave, because we were talking about tefillin, right? He was so machved on when he took off his tefillin, when he put on his tefillin, that the non-Jews would say, oh, look at you. You care about tefillin so much. Why are these tefillin so special? And he would say, you want to know why they're so special? Let me tell you a Dvar Torah, right? Let me tell you how important it is, right? Lomar Yosef lo zochel amalkut al yidei sheshimer mitzvot of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef only became viceroy because he kept the mitzvot of God. Ve'anu lo zachinu l'chol chavar hazeh al yidei sheshamarnu mitzvot of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu atin boy mevat l'mitzvot ha'inan. Any greatness we have is only because we keep the mitzvot. Stop making fun of me. You think I'm going to give up? No. No. All my greatness comes from mitzvot. You can't guilt me into not giving the mitzvot. Boom. Fine. And then how would he make the brachot? So Bizrika Mishemra Yaakov Raidik Shunotin Alayah. Now there are 2 years old here, but Shunyad and Mao Omer Brahman on mitzvah tefillin. Now this is the opposite of the Bavli. The Bavli says that the mitzvah on the tefillin shalyad is Lahaniach. Right? Right? And the one on the Rosh is Al mitzvah tefillin. The Yerushalmi has the opposite girsa, however, not surprisingly, many of the Rishonim change the girsa. Very good. Right, and obviously the Gemara Menachel Amidvav is the opposite, and that's why the Mara Panim switches the Girsa here to make it like the Bavli. However, the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ran all, in fact, just assume it's a Machloket Bavli Yerushalmi. Right, this is the Girsa and the Yerushalmi. Don't change it. Now there is a very important Machloket Rishonim that you probably know, which is. The Rambam holds that the Ikaron, you only say one bracha on tefillin. This Gemara, when it says you say two, is only if what? If there's a hefsek. Right? That if you're not supposed to make a hefsek between putting on your tefillin shel yad and your tefillin shel rosh. If you do, you have to make another bracha, and then there are two brachot. But in normal circumstances, you only say one bracha, as opposed to the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, which is that the Gemara is kipshuto, that there are two brachot on tefillin, one on the shel yosh, rosh, and one on the shel yad. And what's the compromise that we have? What is the compromise? Baruch Shem, very good. The compromise of the Ashkenazim is we say, Baruch Shem, Kevon Machot El Olam Ved, after we say the second bracha, just in case we weren't supposed to say it. That is our compromise. Fine. Now, it says something amazing. Kshul Cholzan Ma'u Omer. Now, what about when he takes your tefillin off? What bracha does he say? Baruch Asher Kishan V'Zavet Zivanu L'Shmor Chukav. Now, not this is one of the amazing times that the Bavli quotes this as well, except... The Gemara quotes it in the name of who? Who do you think? B'nai Ma'arava. All right, this is one of those where you have it, right? That the Gemara in Menachem Emdalit says, we in Bavel don't say this bracha, but in Eretz Yisrael, they do. Right? So this is testament to the fact that this idea that you say a bracha when you take your tefillin off, right? This was a minog Eretz Yisrael, right? That the Bavli attests to, and we have in the Yerushalmi. What? Well, first of all, it's not in the Bavli, right? The Bavli says it's Bnei Eretz Yisrael, right? Fine. V'atya k'man dimar. Now, why would you say this? Why would you say it's a mitzvah to take off your tefillin? Only if you think you're not supposed to wear tefillin at night. So it quotes a pasuk, b'chukah, right? V'shamar da chukah azot l'mo'adam yamim imima. B'chukah ta tefillin ha'kadu medaber. It's talking about the rules of tefillin that you only wear during the day. B'ram k'man dimar b'chukah bezak kadu medaber. But some people understand that pasuk to be talking about the chukah of Pesach and not the chukah of tefillin, and therefore there is no mitzvah to take off the tefillin, even if it's not the zman. But there is no explicit pasuk that says it's a mitzvah to take off the tefillin at the proper time. Lo bidah, then you wouldn't make a bracha. So you see that even in the Yerushalmi is telling you that it's a machloket whether it's actually a mitzvah to take off your tefillin. Or not, right? I mean, the Gemara is willing to entertain the possibility that maybe, according to one way of reading the pasuk, there's a special mitzvah to take off the tefillin at the right time. Now, another possibility, and a Tosfot quotes this in Menachel Amid Vav, and he says that maybe. So first of all, right, Tosfos says that the mitzvah seems to only be if you're taking it not off in general, but you're taking it off right before nightfall, meaning in order not to be wearing it at night. But Tosfos notes, it's not clear that we paskin Mekar Din, you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night, right? Maybe it's halacha vein morin king. And obviously, if we paskin that Mekar Din, you're allowed to wear tefillin at night, maybe you're just not allowed to put it on, but there's no chiv to take it off, right? So then you wouldn't say this bracha, right? So that's what Tosfos notes there. There are other interpretations as well. Now, Rabbeinu Tam, as we've seen in Tosfos, believes that this bracha is a special bracha only on the taking off of tefillin. However, there were other Rishonim who thought that no, that this is a bracha in general about the end of a mitzvah. Okay. But you can look through the Rishonim. The Rishonim really do discuss this Rishonim a lot. Right now, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Avoh, if you put on tefillin at night, now it's not clear if you continue wearing them, but if you put them on over base, you violate an ase, matam, matam, shamar de chukazot, muadam, yamimimimah, yamim velolelo, days and not nights, yamima pratla shabbatot, yamim tovim, and yamima excludes Shabbat and Yom Tov. Bahar Rabbi Avoh, yotiv mati ramshu tefilo eloi, but wait a second, didn't Rabbi Avoh learn a night with his tefillin on? Mitzadinave. He said, no, it wasn't really on. It was on the side. I mean, it was on his head. He didn't bother taking it off, but it wasn't halachically on his head. It was just the way he held it. It was like a pikadon. Right? That's just how he stored it. Alternatively, it's a baimemar. Now, according to that first day, it's clear that the Yerushalmi assumes that it's usher to wear tefillin at night, right? Not just to put it on. To the second day, is it a baimemar? Lomer lahanotin. Right? The second day is no. The avira is to put it on. But if it's already on your head, it is mutter. And this, in fact, there's a braita that's quoted in the Gemara, Menachot Lamed Vav, about this, where the Chachamim say you don't have to take off your tefillin until you go to sleep. But there's a machloket of exactly how you understand the Gemara there, right? Where Rashi thinks that the Chachamim think there's no mitzvah of tefillin at night. Right, and nevertheless, they think there's no chiyuv to take it off. Right, that's how Rashi understands it. The Tosfot says no. The Chachamim felt that Laila was the Zman Tefillin, and the only reason you take it off before you go to sleep is because if you're sleeping, then you can't keep your body clean, and the like. So again, how do you understand that Breita? Is it saying that night is not the Zman Tefillin, and nevertheless, you're allowed to keep it on if it was already on, like this Shita in the Yerushalmi, or it's no. In the Bavli, the only people all that you're allowed to keep the tefillin on at night are those who think that the mitzvah is at night. Right? So again, right, what exactly it is, you have that tension both in the Bavli and in the Yerushalmi. Itta by me, manishmana ada, alternative bahayla chala oat. It should be an oat. Etchula chala oat. This is going on the Shabbat and Yom Tov, and you have this same drasha in the Bavli in several places, in Erev and Sadi Vav, and Menachot Lamed Vav, that you only have to wear a tefillin when you need an oat. Pratli Yamim Tovim v'Shabbatot Shikulan Oat. You don't have to wear it on Shabbat and Yom Tov because they themselves are an oat. No, you just can't. You never need two oats. V'lon Kein Ktiv Yamim Yamima, but doesn't it say Yamim Yamima? So litlach ella kaidamar biyochan kol mid lo mechavra misamchin lei min atrin sagi. He says, yeah, but if it's something isn't clear, you can bring multiple proofs. No, the point is you don't have two oats. I don't understand the different oat. That is not brought up anyways. Okay, tamon tanina. So now we quote the Mishnah: Noshim avadim p'turim mikriyat shma umin atfilin. Women, avadim, are pater from shman from tefillin, nashim minayin. How do I know women are pater? Limatim adam b'neichem, v'lo b'noteichem. Right, you teach Torah to your sons and not your daughters. Etchu chay b'talmud Torah, like you have in the Bavli. Anyone who's chay b'talmud Torah, chay b'tefillin. Nashim, she'ena chay b'talmud Torah, ena chayavin b'tefillin. Okay, let's stop there, but we'll see is that, because this is a bigger discussion, is that the last line here in the Yerushalmi is going to deal with what happens with women who choose to wear it. Right, and here again, you're going to have a big difference. The Bavli Yerushalmi of if women who choose to wear it, do you yell at them or not? Right, do you stop them just to their potter? And that is going to be the very last line here of the Yerushalmi. But let's stop.